I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's doing, what he's going to continue to do, and what he will do. Amen. And so we're going to continue doing what God's called us to do here. And we're going to move on in this series called Church? Question mark. Oh, church. Yeah, so the first questions about church was this. Well, whose idea and why? Well, whose idea was this whole church thing anyway? And we discovered that it was God's idea. It was God's idea. And why? So he would gather his people to himself, that he would redeem people. That's why. And then we said, well, who leads the church? Who's in charge of the church? And we realized, who's in charge of the church? Jesus is in charge of the church. And he places leaders for the good of his church. Okay? And then we said, well, why be part of a church? Why should we be part of a church? And we said, because... y'all write these down next time, so next week when I ask this, you'll know it. Because it's the greatest movement ever. Because there's no greater cause, there's no greater group of people, there's no greater movement that makes eternal impact like the church does, right? The church has the gospel message that will save somebody for all eternity. I don't know any other better cause than that. And then we said, because of that, now that we've got those answered, we're going to go to the exclamation point of this series. And last week we said, I will love his church, right? I will love his church. Well, this morning, the phrase that I want you to remember, and hopefully it will get into your mind, and we will be able to live this out in such a way that it makes a positive impact. We are going to say this: I will enhance his church. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, I will enhance his church. Well, mercy. Look at, maybe you didn't like that neighbor that you said that to. So look at your other neighbor and say, I will enhance his church. That was better. Better. All right. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 through 21, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful this morning that we can come to gather to worship you, Lord, to learn from your word and to celebrate the possibilities of God. We thank you, God, for that. Help us to hear you today. Help us to hear the Spirit as he speaks to us, Father. As we look at your word, we let the word speak. We ask that you would illuminate our hearts and our minds to your truth. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there's strict judgment of my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. In his name that I preach. Amen. So when we look at this text and when we look at this concept, I will enhance his church. Let's look at the definition of enhance. To enhance means this. It means to increase or improve in value. To increase or improve in value. It means to further improve the quality of. Okay? So when you enhance something, you make it better, right? You make it better. And so the question is, if I'm a church member, do I make the church better? Do I enhance his church? Am I someone that improves the quality of his church? Because I'm a member here, is Living Water Church more blessed because I'm here? Do I enhance it? Do I improve it? Do I bring things that benefit it? Or do I hinder it? Hinder means to create difficulties for someone or something. It means to create difficulties for someone or something to cause delay. God's delay. Now listen, when we think about what God's doing here, we're seeing God do some amazing things, amen? Now let me just say, what we're going to see, what we saw baptism in this first service, we're going to see four more in the second service, okay? And that is more than what the average baptism rate that the average Southern Baptist church will baptize for an entire year. Now, that's not yay us. That is oh us as a church in general. That only five people a year are confessing their faith through believers' baptism. That's not good. That's not good. Now, that's good that we get to celebrate five today, but that's not good that most churches only see five a year. So guess what? I think God's doing something among us, don't you? I think God's got his hand on this church. And so what I want to challenge you and I want to challenge me, I don't want to be a hindrance to the move of God. I want to enhance the move of God. Amen? So I get an opportunity to be a part of a movement of God that we can clearly see that God's doing here in Montgomery County that's influencing not just this county, but surrounding counties, Powell County, Bath County, Menifee County, Clark County, the surrounding counties of us. God's moving it. So I want to enhance this movement. What about you? I will enhance his church. Go ahead, in case you forgot to say it the last time. Now you're like a little bit more pumped up about it. Say, I will enhance his church. Go ahead, tell your neighbor. I will enhance his church. Verse 15, he says in Ephesians 5, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. How am I going to enhance his church? One key way that I can enhance his church is to be aware. To be aware. I need to be aware. He says, be careful how you walk. Pay careful attention. Have your eyes open. Be alert. Be ready. Be ready what? Be ready for the snares of the devil, the Bible would say. There's traps all around us. There's bait that the Satan knows what tempts you, right? We're all not tempted by the same thing, but we're all tempted. And he drops that bait in front of you. And if you can see that and you realize, bait, Satan's trying to get me, and you can avoid that, that's going to help. That's going to help tremendously. That's going to enhance your life. Have you all realized that when you get things out of your life that destroys your life gets better? We can hinder our own life, can't we? Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We will put things in our lives. We will associate with people in our lives that will hinder us and not enhance us. And so we've got to pay careful attention, he says, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. When Paul was writing this, there was a lot of persecution about to come. The Roman Empire was moving and persecution was getting hotter on the Christian faith. Can I tell you, we're moving towards a time like that in American culture. Persecution's coming to those who are in Christ. And so what we got to do is we got to be about the Father's business. We got to be about sharing his message, living his message, being the gospel, sharing the gospel, making the most of every opportunity because, why, the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, verse 17 says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We talked about this during revival this week, the will of the Lord. And a lot of times we get this whole confused, you know, because we start being mystical about it and we just start thinking, you know, well, I just don't know what, if I can just find the will of God, you know, the will of God, like it's some search out there that is always beyond us that we can never get. And I tell you that it's plain in Scripture what the will of God is. The will of God is that you would know the God who made you. That's the will of God. The will of God is that you would encounter a living God who loves you and confess your sin and place your faith in the Jesus who died for you. That's the will of God. So if you know Jesus and you've given your heart and life to Christ, you are in the will of God. Because God wills and he desires that no man perish, but to come to repentance. That's God's heart. That's his will. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus as Lord, his will for you is that you would know him. And then once we know him, everything else about in life is just secondary. It really, you know, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to do this for my career? Am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to? It really doesn't matter. God will use you when you do whatever you do. You can work in a factory. You can work at a school. You can work anywhere you work. God can use you. It doesn't matter. It's just, well, I'm just this or I'm just that. No. Whatever you do, the Bible says, do it for the glory of God. And so if you know Jesus and you have a relationship with him, you're in the will of God. Wherever you're at, share his love. It's as simple as that, to know Jesus and to make him known. To know Jesus and to make him know. If I do that, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, I can live out the will of God. Is that not exciting? You know? We live out the will of God. How do we do that? Well, we have to become aware. Are you consciously aware every day, man, I get to walk in the will of God today? I get to walk in his will. Why? Because I walk in my relationship with him. And I get to be aware of circumstances around me. And I'm telling you, the neat thing about coaching in Parks and Recs League and coaching little leagues is the most joyful moment has happened this week for me as a coach. To be able to baptize them too. That to me is why I coach. Not to win a championship. Though when I'm coaching, I want to win. I mean, y'all know me. I'm competitive. I like to win. I want to win. But greater than that, I want to show the kids that there is a God who made them and loved them. In all those years that I was coaching, God finally used some seed that planted, and he called you. And now God's going to do some great things with your life. It'd be amazing. You have to be aware. You have to be aware around you. You have to be aware of the people around you that God places so that you can speak the truth of Jesus to them. Does that make sense? If you do that, you'll enhance. What would happen if every single one of us started becoming aware of our walk with God and the possibilities that we have to touch people's lives? That revival would multiply, wouldn't it? Because you see, this is the locker room, right? This is the locker room. This is where we get in there, and I'm a coach up there going, "Come on out there, let's go out there," and we're talking about all the possibilities that God can do. And then once we leave, this is like, boom, that's game time. We go out into the world. That's where it happens. It happens at your school, at your workplace, in your neighborhoods. That's where it happens. That's where you take it. That's where you become aware. Become aware. What else? Look at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means to be controlled by the Spirit. I'm going to say commit to prayer on this one. Commit to prayer. You cannot be controlled by the Spirit if you're not praying like you should. If in the morning you're not in a prayerful attitude, you won't be controlled by the Spirit. You see, what it's saying here is that alcohol, as alcohol, one who drinks too much alcohol comes under the influence of that alcohol, right? Have anybody ever seen somebody drunk? I'm not saying you've been drunk. I'm saying you've seen somebody be. And what happens? It affects what? It affects everything about it. It affects their mind. It affects your vision. You don't see the way you should see. It affects your speech. Right? Have y'all say amen? Don't act like you've never done that. It affects the way you walk. Right? Doesn't make you start walking a little not normal. That controls you. And what Paul says is that the Spirit ought to control you. The Spirit, you drink the Spirit. You have, not that the Spirit's a liquid. He is personal. You receive the Holy Spirit and He begins to lead you. He starts affecting the way that you think. He starts affecting the way that you speak. He starts affecting the way that you become aware. Because if you're not prayed up, you won't be aware. You'll just go all through life just busy, just busy, just busy. He affects the way that you see. He affects the way that you walk. You walk different when you're controlled by God. Right? You walk different. You walk in the footsteps of Jesus. So that means you love the way He loved. You go where He says to go. You follow Him. You must have a prayer life. You must be controlled by the Spirit. You must allow God to say, Lord, this is today I'm alive because of You. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes I preach better than I live. I'll just go ahead and confess. Because even I find myself getting so busy and trying to get the kids ready for school and all that kind of stuff, and I have to get a sermon together, that sometimes I can do miss the very obvious thing that I got to do is pray. And so I understand the busyness and the hecticness, and we get ourselves all caught up that we're just running out the door, you know. But I'm going to challenge all of us to be more prayerful minded. That today, that every day this week, this is our challenge. This is my challenge that I'm going to make for myself and I want to make for you all. Every day, get up this week and say, Lord, this is Your day. Help me to become aware of those that You put around my life. And let me walk in Your Spirit today. We talk about Acts 2 as being a blueprint, kind of like for our church. And we see seven expressions of faith that we try to challenge everyone to activate in their lives. And this enhances our church. And let me just go over those real quickly. And then let's ask this question to ourselves, okay? Not about anybody else. This isn't about what your spouse is doing. This isn't about what your friend's doing. This isn't about anybody else but you. This is about you, okay? So when we look at these seven, we're going to ask this question to ourselves, all right? And here's the question. If everyone did what we're going to ask, if everyone the way that I do it, would it enhance the church or hinder the church? Whew, ouch, y'all ready? This could be painful for some. And let's allow God to work. You ready? So we ask this question. If everyone worshiped the way I worshiped at Living Water Church, would it enhance the church or hinder the church? If everybody came to church and gathered with the same attitude and spirit that I have, would we have a great worship service? Would it enhance the worship environment? Or would it hinder? It's a good question, isn't it? If everyone learned the way that I learned, if everyone studied their Bible and was part of a small group Bible study the way that I'm a part of a Bible study or read my Bible, would the church be enhanced or hindered? If everyone prayed the way I pray, would the church be enhanced or to be hindered? If everyone was as committed to the church body the way that I'm committed to the church body, enhanced or hindered? If everyone served the way that I served, would the church be enhanced or hindered? If everyone invited the way that I invite, would the church be enhanced or hindered? Y'all getting this? Y'all making note of this? Because here's what some of you are doing. Some of you are going, yep, that one's, I'm good on that one. And then another one's like, no, not so good. Yeah, but I'm good on this one. And the last one, if everyone gave the way that I gave financially to the church, would it be enhanced or would it be hindered? Good questions, isn't it? Those are some real questions. I mean, those are some real practical questions that we can take home with us this week and meditate on and think through and do some spiritual evaluation checklist on ourselves, can't we? And we can go down those seven and we can say, okay, man, if everyone served the way I served, yes, this church would be rocking. And that's true for some of you. But for some of you, we wouldn't be able to do anything, right? You're like, man, if everyone prayed like me, yes, man, we would, it would be wonderful. And some of you are like, ooh, if everybody prayed like me, hardly nobody would be praying. Some of you is like, if everyone gave like me, shoot, yeah, we'd be ready to go ahead and start finishing the back end of this church. And some of you would be like, ooh, we'd probably have to turn the lights off. I mean, really? So it goes back to that very first question, that first statement. I will enhance his church. I will improve the quality of, and I will move things forward. You know, when Steve was here, he saw potential. And he said, man, there are some potential here. And every Sunday when we get up here, man, I see great potential. And we need to put that in motion. And so we need to all be people who say, man, I'm going to enhance his church. I'm going to do the things that I need to do to improve the quality of and to move it forward. I don't want to be the one to hinder it, to stop it. Do you? So evaluate yourself. Get those down. And the last thing, you need to be ready to share. Be ready to share, right? Be aware. Commit to prayer. Be ready to share God's love with who? With everyone, with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with those who do not know Christ. Look at it. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ. When you get together, when we come together as a church, this ought to be a place where we encourage each other, lift each other up, and we get to sing together, and we get to make melody in our heart. And it's a good time that we enjoy being around each other. Amen? It ought to be a wonderful time. It ought to be a time, and I feel like we got that here. I believe that when people who visit us and they're new here, I think they sense the love of Jesus here. We try to be a welcoming church. You know, if you're new and somebody doesn't shake your hand, we didn't do our job this morning, right? If somebody didn't say hi to you, because we want people to know, hey, we're excited that you're here. We should be excited that we see one another. You know, when I see you walking through the door, man, I'm encouraged, you know? Giving each other an encouraging word. Some of you, every once in a while, you'll come up to me and say, Grant, I just want you to know, praying for you today. Or I love you, I appreciate you. Woo, that helps me. That helps me. That motivates me. That encourages me. And we need to encourage one another. And then we need to be ready to share our faith when we see somebody out, no matter where we are. Maybe it's on a ball field. Maybe it's at the lake. Maybe it's at Walmart. Maybe it's at the bowling alley. Maybe it's just at your house or somebody else's house. And you're ready to share the hope that you have. I shared this with our Wednesday night group once, and here was the question. Hardee's or McDonald's? Does it matter? Does it matter whether you go to McDonald's or Hardee's? There was one morning I was getting up. I was heading out to church. Before I came in, I was wanting to get some breakfast, and I was in this quandary. Have you ever had a quandary of where you're going to eat at? I mean, these big real-life decisions, right? I mean, major. And I'm like, do I want a biscuit sandwich from McDonald's or do I want to go to Hardee's? And I'm sitting there, I'm having this tension, and I'm not thinking, what in the world? What's going on? Why is this such a big deal to me this morning? And so I'm like, And so I'm like, Hardee's. So I pass McDonald's, get on the interstate, boom, head to Hardee's. And I walk into Hardee's, and I see Everett there. There's Everett sitting there at Hardee's. So I order my biscuit sandwich, and I get it. And I told him I was going to talk about him this morning, okay? So he said, I'd be all right. And so we're sitting there at Hardee's, and I see him sitting there. And so I go over, and I sit next to him. I sit across from him. We start talking. And I asked him, I say, have you ever given your life to Jesus? He said, well, I've been thinking about it. I said, I think it would be a good time, don't you? He says, yeah, I'm not getting much younger. It's about time. I'm getting at that age. And so we talked and we shared, and he gave his life to Jesus. And we talked about baptism, and some of you were here that morning. And so here's Everett. Go to the next. There's him in the water. There you are, Everett. That was on Facebook. That got a lot of likes, okay? A lot of people enjoyed that. He's in the water. And we did his baptism. And then we're sitting there, and I'm excited about that. And John's preaching a Sunday, maybe it was a Sunday morning. I can't remember when he preached it. It's when he gave out all those little, I think it was Sunday morning. He gave all those little stickets. Said Jesus on it, and we're going to make a cross out of it. Something that blessed my heart, Everett, was when I saw you walk up out of that chair, and you came up, and he placed his Jesus on that cross. And man, I was trying to find my phone and getting eyes. I want to capture that. Because you know why? Because McDonald's, Hardee's doesn't matter. I don't know. It mattered that day. It mattered that day. And what mattered just as much or more so than the fact that it was at Hardee's is that when I saw Everett, I went across the room. And we engaged in dialogue. You see, we complicate things. Us in the church world and us pastors, we're guilty in the, you know, we got these systems and these programs and we complicate things in such a way that we feel like that people have to do this, 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 and this. And then, man, when Jesus just simply says, man, if you'll go, and you'll just be a witness and be a light. And if you'll love people and share my truth, let me do the work. I'll do the gathering. When you all gather together, I'll gather my people out of that gathering. I'll draw men to myself. All we have to do is share the message. That's all our responsibility is. We don't save people. Do you realize we don't save people? That's his job. Our job is to be faithful. Our job is to share the message. Our job is to live the message. Our job is to walk as wise men, not as unwise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So be filled with the Spirit. And when you come together, make melody in your heart. If we will live that out, we will enhance this church. Amen. We'll enhance this church. If every Christian everywhere will do that, they will enhance the kingdom of God. So, we got to ask ourselves, am I going to be an enhancement to the kingdom or a hindrance to the kingdom? And I know every child of God who loves the Lord, I know how you should answer that. And I want to be an enhancement. So do some gut checking this morning. Let God stir. If there's areas in your life that are a hindrance, get them out. Repent. And let's get moving forward on that. Amen. This week, I want you to be aware of all the opportunities that God places before you. Because it's not that is God going to put an open door before you. It's am I going to see the open door that God puts before me? I believe there's divine appointments all around us, and most of us miss them. I do. I believe I go to Walmart for more than just get my groceries. So be aware this week. Let's see what God's going to do. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we get a chance to worship you, Lord. Father, we are so thankful for what you're doing and how you're moving. And Lord, I want to be enhanced. I want to be an enhancement to the church. I want to enhance your kingdom. I don't want to hinder it. And I pray that that would be the prayer of everyone here this morning. Father, if there's areas in our life that are hindering, would you draw it to our attention? Would you show us, Lord? Would you take us to the question, if everyone did like I did, would it enhance or hinder the church? Could we evaluate ourselves? And let's just don't be happy if we get one or two of them, but let's do them all. Let's do them all. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, and they've never surrendered their life to you, today they need to say, you know what? I need to be saved. Lord, would you speak to their heart and let them come and give their hearts to Christ this morning. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come. Let's move.